chapter number 25. We're going to look at five different passages of Scripture, all with a common thought. And anybody ever hear of YouTube? It's an opportunity to, like, you watch videos of things. Like, it saved us probably thousands of dollars, right? I mean, it shows you how to fix things and to repair things. We've done work on our car and fixed washing machines and dryers and diagnosed whatever, just watching videos. Tonight, Proverbs chapter 25, say, why are you bringing that up? I'll tell you in a second. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 4, it says, take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in what? In righteousness, the Bible says. Here, as we look at this passage, it seems like there's something that is good that's trying to happen, but is being limited or hindered by something else. In silver, it's the dross. Before the king, it's wickedness. Say, well, Pastor, I'm not sure this... Are you familiar with silver?
A little bit.
All right. And do you soak silver and stuff, like, to get some of the impurities out? I saw one video where they soak it in, like, some nickel or something like that, or... That's the one. But I was watching as they took this piece of silver and they would put it in this, like, looked like almost like a little crock, and they would heat this up. The melting point of silver is 1,764 degrees Fahrenheit. Not super hot concerning melting metal. And you look at that, and I was watching this process, and what looked like pure silver to me, all of a sudden there was bubbles coming up, and there was they were trying to get some of the, I think they, in the video it said lead, and trying to get some other impurities out of the silver. And then they let that thing cool down, and they made these little silver, what they called buttons. And they would drop it, and this person was showing on this video how to invest in silver. You can go through this process and heat this thing up, and now you have 99.9% pure silver. And you can make your own silver, and when silver prices go up, you sell it, and when it goes down, you buy it, and keep doing this over and over. And I was watching this, and it was fascinating. I thought it was really interesting. And I looked at these verses first. It wasn't like I was lost in YouTube, and I'm like, oh, I could come up with a message out of this. No, I have this first. And what you look at, you know what? Brother Bob, some years ago, gave me a silver bullet. Remember that? It's not a real bullet, but it looks like a bullet, but it's silver. And, man, that thing's neat. I brought that out when, again, I was looking at it, and I'm like, man, I wonder how pure this thing is. Because to the average eye, it looks clean. It looks pure. And so did it to me in the videos. And as I was watching this, sure enough, stuff was coming out. And you know what? Sometimes I think we get to that same place with the silver as our own life, and we go, I'm clean. Yeah. I'm good. I look all right. But are we 99.9? Are we 100% pure? Are we 100% clean? Or is there something that's going to require... Remember last week, Brother Engeseth, and he had all that stuff up here and all that. Remember that intense amount of heat that was necessary? And that's the process of refining silver. It would heat up, and the impurities would rise to the top, and they would take away the dross from the silver. And there shall come forth a vessel. Look at what it says. For the finer. I wonder if we would allow God to place us in the melting pot, if you will. God, is there something in my life? Is there an impurity? Is there dross in my heart that that needs to be taken away, that I might be the vessel for the final. It goes on to talk about, in verse 5, take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. And foolish counsel would lead to unrighteous decisions. And he says, hey, let's get that thing away. So it is in our life, right? Maybe it's not even dross in my heart, but I'm surrounding myself in a kingdom of things that ought to be removed so I could make righteous decisions. Are you allowing foolishness, wickedness, to dictate how you make decisions? Do you seek counsel from that which is lost? I'm here to tell you, biblical counseling and worldly counseling are light years apart. Worldly counseling truly is just another face of humanism. It is, how can you happily cover up the effects of your sin? Take this pill. Go this place. Do this thing. And we listen to that. And we'll never be righteous because we'll never get to the root of the problem. We talked about this a little bit in our morning devotions for school this morning. About how important the heart is, which dictates our behavior, which then gives us consequences or positive things. So, in our life, what are we allowing? Are we willing to get rid of the wickedness before our life, that our life could be established in righteousness? Are we willing to let God place us in that melting pot, and as that thing gets really hot, he can clear out the dross? The process would happen multiple times over. Look at Psalms chapter 12. Probably the familiar verses concerning the silver and the dross. Silver is not the only precious metal. It is one of the softest precious metals, but it is not the only precious metal that goes through this process. But here we have another instance of this in Psalm chapter 12 and verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth. And it says this, purified seven times. Why on earth would we purify silver seven times? Because as much as we think it's pure, you got to let that thing cool down, and then heat that thing back up again. And sure enough, more stuff. And just when you think this thing has nothing else, the silversmith says, do it again. And just as much as we think in our life, oh no, I'm clean. I've been through it. And God says, do it again. Why? Because I would like a vessel for the finer. For the finer. Again, let's remember that we are that clay in the hand of the potter. So are we the silver in the hand of the silversmith? We are in God's hands, and if he so desires to try us or put us through some things, why? To get rid of the impurities. The most valuable precious metals are the ones that have the least amount of dross, the least amount of impurities. I'm not sure what kind of gold you have. I think maybe a ring or something. Maybe you've heard of 24 karat gold, right? Super soft. Why? Because there's nothing holding it together. There's no impurities there to keep it strong. Sometimes in our life, oh, it's just gonna make me weaker physically, but all the finer. You see the connection with our life and the life of that? So look in your life. I've been through it. How many times? A couple. Hold on. He says here, seven. Now I understand he's talking about the word of God. In verse 7, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Why? How can we preserve the word of God? Because it's perfect. It has not an error from cover to cover. That's the word of God. Not the notes, not the maps, not the, you know, I remember. one of the kids showed me, I forget which one it was, and they had the crossing of the Red Sea, not where it was crossing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it wasn't the Reed Sea, you know? Your maps are not inspired, preserved Word of God. Hey, they're helpful. It helps. But the Word of God is perfect. And that's how it's able to endure generation after generation. I wonder if our council has been tried so many times that it could endure generation after generation. Or is there things in our life that ought not to be there? Hey, are there things in your life that ought not to be there? Is there dross tonight? Tonight's message is called Remove the Dross. Hey, let's take that silver. Silver in itself is valuable. If I brought in a block of silver, you'd go, oh, that's valuable, but it could be better. And we look at us and go, oh, you know, I'm doing all right for the things of the Lord. And, you know, I'm saved, but could it be finer? I know what we're talking to you tonight. If we went from side to side and we took some time, I could pretty much guarantee that we would have a profession of faith from every person in this room. But the question is there dross in our life? Are we the finest vessel? Are we pure before the eyes of the Lord? Say, how does that happen? Say, does God really take this thing serious? I'm going to read you verses about Israel and his thoughts towards it. Ezekiel chapter 22. I just want to show you how serious it is to God. Ezekiel 22. This is God's thoughts on this topic. Ezekiel 22, if we look at we can start at verse 17, it says, "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, the house of Israel is to me become what?" It says, "Become dross." All they are brass and tin and iron and lead in the midst of the furnace. They are even the dross of silver, he says. He says, they're not the pure part, they're the mess. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye are all become dross, behold, therefore I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem, as they gather silver and brass and iron and lead and tin into the midst of the furnace to blow the fire upon it, to melt it. So will I gather you in mine anger and in my fury." No, my dross is okay. It's all right. It's okay to be unclean. And God says, no, it's not. No, it's not. I'm going to gather the nation of Israel together, because he didn't even identify them as silver anymore. They were so impure, he calls them dross. And he says, "I'll gather you in mine anger and in my fury, and I will leave you there and just melt you. Yea, I will gather you and blow upon you in the fire of my wrath, and ye shall be melted in the midst thereof." I'm just here to show you that God takes this serious. I know we're not Israel. "As silver is melted in the midst of the furnace, so shall ye be melted in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I am the Lord, have poured out my fury upon you." Could it be considered, or thought, possibly, that there might be, listen now, some negative consequences to not getting right with God? Is that a foreign thought? No, that should be a very realistic, obvious thought. And here is the illustration, the silver and the dross. It's just another illustration of, if there's things that aren't right, don't just be settled with that. Clean it out. Get rid of it. Be the finer. Don't be satisfied with not being pure. Well, no one can ever be pure. Is that where we're at? We're content with that? I was dealing with, don't let this get back to my kids. I was dealing with one of my children today. We were going over some English, and they were saying, "No, I get this, I understand this." I said, You're missing the point here. You don't understand it. And I need you to admit that you don't understand it. No, no, Dad, I understand it. I can explain it. Now, look. And they showed me a page that they did. And out of the 18 that they have, they missed 4.
Look, I only missed 4.
So I did some quick math. I said, that's 78%. I said, if you continue that through, you'll fail the pace. 80%. Well, how'd you get that number? They said. I said, it's a ratio. I said, if you did, instead of 18 at this rate, if you did 100 of them, you would have a 78. I said, and I wrote these words, failed. Because they were failing to acknowledge that they weren't doing good. I'm not here to beat them up, but I needed them to admit, hey, God isn't here to necessarily beat us up. He just needs us to admit that we need some refining and we need to come to Him and have Him put us through a little bit and get some of that dross out. But if we want to fight against that, I'm here to tell you there's going to be consequences and He says this, I came against Israel in my wrath and in my anger and in my fury. I'd rather have the gentle correction of God and my admittance of my dross in my life instead of trying to convince myself that I'm justified. It's the same thought. So here you are tonight, that block of silver. How is it? 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm going to show you 2 verses. We're going to try and end Wednesday nights a little bit earlier, not so much the closer to the 8 o'clock mark than the 8:15. I know it's a school night and parents like to get kids in to bed. 2 Timothy chapter 2, did I tell you that? 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's look at verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, see how valuable this is? Look, not that the father has to purge him, but he would purge himself from these. He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. I believe Brother Angaseth referred to that verse. But the purging, the cleansing, the removing of the dross, the removing of the impurities. See, what happens if I don't? What is God going to do? I'm not God. But I can show you from cover to cover principles. And I'm here to guarantee that it'll be better to get clean and come and judge yourself and not have to be judged. Last verse that we'll look at, Hebrews chapter 9. The thought tonight is, let's remove the dross. Hey, don't go back. So many times we make strides for the Lord, and then there's this regression. It's like we're putting impurities back into the pure silver. Hey, don't revert back. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Look, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. He says, I've made a way through my blood that I can cleanse you, that you could be used to serve the living God. Pastor Huber used to preach that thought. Man, I want to be that clean tool that when he reaches into the toolbox, and I'm there, and I'm ready to go. Clean. My boys have been, we're trying to put a room upstairs at our house, and it's a slow process, and I show the boys stuff, and they do stuff, and I go up to go do stuff, and none of my tools are in my tool bag. There's nothing around. Where's my stuff? Why is this sticky? Why is this like this? This isn't how my tools ought to be. And God's saying the same thing. I want to use you. I have a plan for you. I've shed my blood. I've cleansed you. I've made a way to cleanse you. Now you have an opportunity through you to serve the living God. But we need to be purged. We need to be cleansed. The dross needs to be removed. We ought never to be content with being impure. It ought to bother us. It ought to bother us. talking to a young lady this week. Hey, I understand we're all sinners. But the hard part about talking with her was that she wasn't sorry. She felt no guilt. She felt no anguish over her sin. How did that happen? How do we get so content with being dross? Let's not allow that to happen in our life. Let's all stand. We'll sing that song again. 153. Can we sing that third verse? 153, that third verse. How firm a foundation. And I'm going to turn this off so we don't record that. All right.